Amen. How many is ready for a miracle in your life? Amen. Well, some of you didn't sound very convinced. How many are ready for a miracle in your life? Amen. How many know that God is still the miracle working God? And today we know this very true, and we've been doing a series over the last few weeks that we started, Do You Have Power? And we're talking about in our lives that many times that so many of us live our life walking around with the plug not plugged in. How many of us doesn't do any good when we have those appliances at home? How many of you ever try to work with an appliance that's not plugged in? You ever had someone call you and say, you know, my something's not working. My wife will call and say, this is not working. I said, first thing I always ask, is it plugged in? You know, is it plugged in? And sometimes I do the same thing. I've been times in my life where I've done things, and, oh, it's plugged in. I think it's plugged in, but really it's not plugged in, and I'm trying to fix it, and it's not working. I'm getting upset, and you learn it's just as simple as plugging in the appliance. It's plugging in the electronic. It's plugging in the thing for it to work, and it wasn't really broke. And many times in our life, we walk around thinking our lives are broke. Okay, I had a preach right there. I need to preach that sermon today. So we're walking around thinking that our lives are broke, and really they're not broke. We're just not plugged in. That God's wanting us to plug into the power that He has for our life. And we've been talking about this over the last few weeks, that God wants to partner with us in this power, that He has designed for you and I to operate in the power of His Holy Spirit, and that He has given you and I an ability. He didn't have to choose to use us, but He chose to anyway. Does God need me? No, He doesn't. But He chooses to need me. There's a difference that He can accomplish His will without me, but He chooses to accomplish His will through me. Let me say again. God can accomplish His will without me, but He chooses to accomplish His will through me. And that God is wanting you and I to partner with Him. We're learning how much that God really loves us and how much that God really values partnering with you and I. And this is what God's wanting to do. And last week we talked about what? The power of faith. That it takes faith, that God is calling you and I to walk in this faith. And that it takes faith to move the heart of God. And He's looking for you and I to walk. And we conclude that what? God is able. We conclude God is able. We judge Him faithful in advance and walking in faith and saying, God, I conclude You are able to do anything in my life that You want to do. God, You are able to do things that are impossible, that man sees as impossible. God, You call it possible. And today we're going to talk about the thought, the power of surrender. The power of surrender. How many know that we like to surrender? That's what we're doing this morning. We raise our hands in church. How many know if someone comes to you today wanting to rob you and stuck a gun in your back, what's the first thing you do? You know, I surrender. Unless you're, you know, Jackie Chan. But anybody else that doesn't want to be Jackie Chan wannabes and get shot, we have to surrender. We raise our hands. We surrender. That's what we're doing today. God, we surrender our life to You. We willingly surrender our life to You. We're raising our hands. And today we're going to talk about this thought of surrender, that God's calling you and I to live a life of surrender. Today we're going to be looking at a text that I love to preach out of. I've preached out of it several times, even recently. I feel like I just feel drawn back to this text today to bring out what God's wanting to say in the power of surrender. It's in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, and we know this is Abraham. Let's pick it up in verse 1 through 3. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. How many know that God tests us? God tests us. Satan tempts us. But God tests us. There's a different philosophy behind it. Sometimes we see it as the same thing. Satan wants to tempt you for failure. God's wanting to test you to grow us, to build our faith. And it says that God came to him and tested Abraham, okay, and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here am I, God. And then he said, now take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Now we see what is happening here is that Sarah had received Isaac as a blessing, a promise from God that she was over 100 years old, and man, she finally got the son that he'd been looking for. He'd been wanting this son that God had promised him, and finally in their old age, way past childbearing years, that God does a miracle and gives them a child. And his name is Isaac. And so God says, Abraham, you know this promise I gave you? I want you to take this promise of Isaac, and I want you to sacrifice him. And so let's pick it back up as we see this happening. We see where Abraham begins to go down and begins to take him. And he says, all right. It says, early the next morning, he got up, and he went down, and he took his men with him, and he went to the mount, and he went up to prepare the offering, and says that Isaac looked at his dad. He's like, Dad, I see the fire, and I see the wood, but where's the sacrifice? I mean, Isaac is pretty bright here. How many know our kids are a lot smarter than we give them credit for, okay? Most of our kids can now work a computer more than we can. They're a lot smarter than we give them credit for. Okay? And so he's like, Dad, I know that 1 + 1 = 2. And I know that 2 + 2 = 4. But I know that the fire plus the wood and no sacrifice means something's going on. What's going on? Where's the sacrifice? And he's like, don't worry, son. God's going to provide. And we know that as he goes there and he begins to sacrifice his son on the altar, that God calls from heaven and stops him. Let's pick it back up in verse 12. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God. He was testing him. He said, but now I know that you fear me, since you have not withheld your son. Now, how many of us today could say this, that we haven't withheld anything from God? Think about that. Is there things in our life that we're withholding from God? Is there things that God is asking you and I to sacrifice? Is there things that he's asking you and I to surrender that we're still holding back? And as God tested Abraham in this and saying, God, he said, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by thorns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, or Jehovah Jireh. We know this, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mouth of the Lord it shall be provided. Abraham had a revelation right here. He's knowing that God is calling him. God is calling him to walk and surrender. And as soon as he surrenders in his heart to the Lord and he gets up there, he notices that, you know what? God provided a ram. God's provided another way. And as soon as God provides another way, he stops and says, you know what? In the mouth of the Lord, it shall be provided. And there's this revelation that comes to him. And today, it's something that God is wanting you and I to learn. It's this act of surrender that leads us to the mouth of the Lord. It's an act of surrender that God says, I want to provide. And so we know this to be very true, that God wants to. Let's pick it up in 16 to 17. By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, because you have surrendered Isaac and been obedient, I have not withheld and had not withheld your son. He's saying you surrendered what I've asked you to do. Your only son, look what he says, blessing will I bless you. Multiplication, multiplying will I multiply your descendants as the stars are of the heavens and of the sands which are the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemy. Let me tell you today that this is no different than what God wants to do in your life and my life. That God is asking you and I to surrender. And as we surrender, that there's something that God wants to do to us and a blessing he wants to bring to our life. Now, first of all, parents, let me say this. Let's give this this warning, first of all, that this is the Old Testament, and please do not try this at home. Maybe you're like me, and you've had a few moments as a parent that you really wanted to sacrifice your children. That's okay, but this is the Old Testament thing. The guy was trying to prove a point with Abraham. It's not something he's wanting us to take and bring home. You know, I often imagine, you know, poor Isaac being on the couch of a counselor, Dan, you know, and sitting there talking to this counselor at 30 years old. Well, you know, my dad was over 100 years old when I was born, so we didn't play ball with me. I never knew what it was to play football with my dad. He came up with this circumcision thing and practiced it on me. And he offered me up as a burnt offering. I don't know what he was thinking. So, you know, scarring the kids, I can really see that Isaac really has some scar things to work through in his life. But I imagine here that we see this happening. It was something that God was wanting to do through Abraham's act of surrender. It's an act that allows God to bless us to the fullest. That God's wanting us to surrender so God can give to us. Listen, God is not a God of subtraction. Let me say again, God is not a God of subtraction. He is a God of multiplication. And so when God is asking me to surrender something in my life, he's not doing it so he can just take something away. And that's what we think in our mind. If I surrender to God, then I'm going to lose something. God's taking this away. I've met people and say, Pastor, I know I need to be in church, but if I go there, I know God's going to ask me to stop doing this, and God's going to ask me to change this, and God's going to want me to stop hanging out with this people, and God's going to want me to do this. And I'm like, you got it all wrong, man. You got it all wrong. God says, come as you are, and then he'll begin to talk to you, and he'll deal with you about changing your life. But I say this, that I want to change. I want to change things, because when God asks me in my heart, asks me to give up things, he's not doing that because he's wanting to take something away. He's doing it because he wants to give me something. Notice the difference. God's not asking me to give it to him so he can take it away. He's asking me to give it to him so he can multiply in our life. There's a blessing that he's wanting to give to us, and it comes through a life of surrender. When we have a surrender to God, there's a nagging voice in our head that says, you're going to lose something. When God says, I want you to surrender something, we think in our head, oh, I can't do that because I'm going to lose this. And we have this voice in our head, and Satan is telling you, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that, man. If you surrender, what God, you'll never have any more friends, or you'll never have any more fun, or you'll never have any more money, or you'll never have any more time, or you'll never have any more privacy. You'll never have blah, 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 blah. That's a Satan nagging at us, and he tries to feed off our fears. And we have a fear, if I totally surrender to God, what's he going to ask me to do? What's it going to cost me? And let me say that God is looking for a heart of surrender so he can multiply in our life. In the mouth of the Lord, God will provide. So what does it take to surrender? What does God want us to surrender? Let's look at this. If we look at Isaac right here and Abraham, let's think about it. What did Isaac represent to Abraham? What is God asking Abraham to surrender? I think it's some of the same things that God is wanting you and I to learn from. First of all, he's asking him to surrender family and relationships. That we've seen us that Isaac represented family and relationships. Look what Luke 14:26 says. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, we read that verse, and it seems kind of harsh, doesn't it? That God expects me to hate my family? No, it's not the same kind of hate that we have in our mind. This is not the translation here. This doesn't translate to a hate that we think of as far as bitterness and hating somebody. It actually translates to, and what the scripture actually means is, in comparison to me. God was saying, in comparison to your love for me, it's going to seem like hate because it's not going to be near as strong. He's saying, I want you to love me so much that everything else doesn't compare. Nothing else compares, that you love me more than anything else, and that your love for me doesn't compare. That's what I'm asking of you, a life of surrender. And he says this, that it's going to cost you relationships and family. When Isaac was being offered up, that Abraham was offering him up, he was offering up the most valuable relationship that he had. I wonder how many of us have relationships that God's asking us to give up. I mean, how many of us really, and you know what I'm talking about, I've been there and still at times in my life, God will ask me to give up a relationship in my life, whether it be somebody who I know is not good for me or somebody who is negative in my life or somebody I know that if I'm around them, they tempt me to do things I shouldn't do. Things in my life, we've all gone through these people in our life, and God's asking you to give up relationships. God's asking us to do that and surrender that, and we don't do it. I don't want to do that. Because if I do that, then who's going to be my best friend? God, if I do that, who's going to be close to me? God, if I do that, what am I going to do? And we think about what we lose and we neglect what God's wanting to give to us. And I can tell you this, I've never given up relationships in my life that God didn't bless me back with a double or triple what I ever thought I lost, okay? I mean, with solid people who really loved me and understood me and supported me, encouraged me. I mean, God has always done this in my life, and I know it to be true, that when we sacrifice, even to the point of relationships in our life, that he brings it to us. We see where Isaac also represented financial protection. That Isaac was a financial protection because Isaac would be the sole heir. Now, we know Abraham was a multi-millionaire in that day. They studied his wealth compared to what it would be worth in today's value. He would be in the top 10. Okay, he was right there. He was right there in value. He was the richest man in the land. He had millions and millions and millions and millions upon millions of dollars worth of value and things. But yet he had no son to leave it to. No son to leave it to. And so his financial protection became that he was leaving his sole heir. Now listen, they were old, okay? Abraham and Sarah were old. And we see in the next chapter that Sarah dies. I mean, they were old people here. And so think about in this time, there wasn't the protection that you have today. That Abraham was a multimillionaire. Can you imagine this old man living by himself with all this money? I mean, not only was he giving up financial protection, he was also giving up protection. His son was going to be one who was going to oversee his financial affairs. His son would have been the one who would have stepped up and protected him, his things, and protected his wealth, protected his well-being. He had been the one who steps up That was what the tradition was in that day. The oldest son would step up to the plate, take care of the parents when they got old. And this is what he was giving up. So for him to sacrifice Isaac, he was sacrificing his future protection. Preston, are you getting this word right here? Okay, write this down, okay? My oldest son, make sure he knows this. You're supposed to take care of your parents when they get old. Some of you laughing. That's why I have five kids. Well, I figured one out of five would at least love me, okay? You guys only have one. Okay, it's up in the air. We'll see what happens. But anyway, but we know that was he was sacrificing Isaac on the altar, that he was sacrificing a relationship, a family, not only that, but he's also sacrificing his financial protection. We see that also Isaac represents social acceptance, respect, his reputation. That to have a son in that day was the highest of standard of respect. And the men in that day who were not able to have sons were looked down upon. The families who did not have sons to carry on the family name, to carry on the family wealth, to carry on these different things we're talking about, man, you were very much disrespected and you're very much looked down upon. And so today we know that when he was offering up his only son, he wasn't just offering up his most loved possession. He was offering up his future. He was offering up his financial protection. He was offering up his security. He was offering up relationships. He was offering up his status in society that people walk around and say, that's the man that killed his son. That's the man that went cuckoo, man. He went and sacrificed his son out there. I mean, he was giving it all. He wasn't just surrendering his son, man. He was surrendering everything else in his life. Isaac represented everything in his life that God was asking him to surrender. He was surrendering his future. Isaac was everything. We know that his future depended upon Isaac to carry on the family name, to carry on the wealth that he had left and to distribute it and to be a steward of those things. That Isaac was the future. So when Abraham was asked by God to surrender it, he wasn't just asking for a son. He was asking for everything. And Abraham was willing to surrender. God comes to us at different times in our lives asking us to surrender so that he can take us to a different level. God wants to take you and I to a different level. There's something about surrender that takes us to the Mount of Hope, to the Mount of the Lord, where God can provide. And God wants to be our provider. He wants us to have trust in him, full trust. And that comes through a life of surrender. Let's talk about the problems of surrender. There's problems of surrendering that we have to face. And I think this video really starts it off right. And I want you guys to look at this quick video real fast, talking about the problem of surrender.
Jesus, I have decided to give you this.
Really?
Yeah.
You know whoever sits here makes all the decisions, right?
I know, and I'm always making decisions. But you make the perfect decisions, so you just sit right down and start making them.
Wow, I'm honored. I mean, this feels great.
Kathleen, guess what? I just got my new credit card. It's time to go shopping.
Oh, really? I thought your husband and you were going to pay off debt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, money's kind of tight, but I figured he doesn't have to know about it. So do you want to go with me?
No.
No?
Why?
What I mean is, I don't know. So let me check my schedule, and then I'll get back to you.
Okay, yeah, give me a call.
Okay.
Kat, what's going on?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm kind of one-cheeking it here. Look, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. You wanted me to sit here, right?
Well, of course.
And whoever sits here makes all the decisions?
Right.
So what's the problem?
There's not a problem. I don't know what I was thinking. Really, please, here, sit down.
As long as you're sure.
I'm sure.
Okay, so let's start over.
Okay.
All right. Kat, I noticed that you've been losing your temper a lot lately.
Right. So, okay, Jesus, you know what? I know what you're going to say, but you don't know the whole situation, you know?
Oh. Well, all I'm saying is that your attitude is a decision.
Yes, of course, but I have a lot going on right now.
Well, I know you're under a lot of pressure.
Pressure? Jesus, you don't understand pressure, okay?
This isn't working, Kat.
What?
We can't both sit on the seat. It's either me or it's you.
Okay, I know. You know, I didn't think it was going to be this hard, but here, just take it.
No, I'm not going to take it. You have to give it to me.
Okay, here.
Kathleen, make a choice.
I can't.
You just did.
Surrender seems like it has its problems, doesn't it, in our life? That we speak it with one word, we want God to be in control, but when it really comes down to it, we have a hard time giving up control and surrendering our life and things that God wants us to do. Let me say this to you. It's something that God really spoke to me that I believe, I've never said this before preaching this sermon, but I want to say it to you today, that the blessing is hard to lay down. We think of surrender, we think about our life of sin. And I can tell you this, a sin was a lot easier to lay down in my life than blessing was. That many times it's the blessing that God's asking us to give up. Think about that. Isaac wouldn't represent sin. Isaac didn't represent any sin in Abraham's life. What did Isaac represent? The blessing from the Lord. Isaac represented the blessing from the Lord. And God was asking him to give up the very blessing he had blessed him with. The very promise he'd been given. God had asked him to surrender that to him. And it's not sin that we struggle with giving up to the Lord the most. I believe as Christians, it's more of the blessing we have struggled with giving up. And it's what God is asking you not to give. It's not to lay down this surrender. It's a life of God. I give everything to you, Lord. I not only surrender my sin to you and ask for forgiveness, but God, I surrender my wealth. I surrender my status. I surrender my personality, my dreams, my talents, my looks, my relationships, my abilities, God, my work, Lord, all these things that you blessed me with, God, I have to lay these things down to you. Isaac became Abraham's idol. Plain and simple, this is what happened. Because Isaac was such a big blessing in his life, he became an idol. And God said this, I want to be your focus of Abraham's attention. Let me say this to you, God never wanted Isaac. God never wanted Isaac. Then why did he ask Abraham to give him up? Because he wanted Abraham back. That's what he was wanting. That's why he was asking him to sacrifice. He wanted Abraham's attention back. He wanted Abraham's affection back. He wanted Abraham to be focused back on him. See, Isaac had become such a big blessing in his life. His attention went on the blessing. His attention went straight to Isaac. And so God says, I want you to give him up. I'm testing you. Are you willing to give up the thing you love the most in your life? How many of us, that God bless us with things in our life, and those things take more priority over God in our life? And we get so happy about what God has given us and what God is doing that we lose the fact that it was God said, those things are a blessing, but you know what? They're not important. What's important is you and me. What's still important is you're listening to my voice. You're living a life of surrender. Look what Exodus 34:14 says. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is what? Jealous. Did you know God's name is jealous? We preached on God's name a lot here, but we never preached on this part of God's name. And you don't hear it talked about a lot. But this is what Scripture says. God's name is jealous. It's one of the names given to God. He is a jealous God. We even sung that a few minutes ago. He is jealous of me. God is jealous of you and I. And when we don't give him a life of surrender and we live our life focused on everything else other than him and putting other things above him, he's jealous. When I put my kids above God, he's jealous. When I put my work above God, he's jealous. When I put my finances above what he's asked me to do, he's jealous. When I put my hobbies over serving, he's jealous. You mean God doesn't want me to love those things? I'm not saying that at all. Don't get me wrong. He's the one who's blessed you with it. He's the one who blessed him with Isaac. God blessed him with Isaac. Okay? He wanted Abraham to love Isaac, and he was giving him his heritage, and he was giving him all this blessing. God's the one that gave it to him, okay? So God was not against Isaac, but what he was against was Abraham putting Isaac above God. And so that's what he was trying to do, is to bring Abraham back to a focus that says, God, I live a life of surrender. God, you are still the most important thing in my life. We see this happening in Scripture. In Hosea, we see the story of where God told the prophet Hosea. He says, your wife, you love her, right? He goes, go out and I want you to go out and marry her again. His wife had been out, and she had been jumping from bed to bed, sleeping with one night stands, sleeping with this guy, this guy, this guy. And she became a prostitute. And there's a prostitute named Gomer, and it actually had been his wife. And he's like, hey, I want you to go out, and I want you to marry Gomer again. This is the Old Testament thing, guys. I'm going to have to run out and do this again. I want you to go out and marry a woman named Gomer, okay? Just a little side note there. Parents, please don't name your kids Gomer if you're a girl. Anyway, he said, I want you to go out and I want you to marry this prostitute named Gomer. And, man, she was out there and she had been, everybody knew her as the prostitute of the town. And she had been with all these different guys and she had been used up and she had been just used to, she was really not worth any value anymore, and finally her owners just threw her up on a slave auction and says, whatever, get out of her, I don't want her anymore. And so she was put up for auction. It says that God told Hosea to go and buy her at that auction. And imagine what was happening in that time when she was there thinking of all her mind how she had left Hosea and the man of God he was, and that she had forsaken his love, and she had been chasing around doing her own thing, building her own idols in her life, and she was worth nothing. I mean, thinking that God could not love her a bit. She had cheated on Hosea time and 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 time again. And God tells Hosea, I want you to go buy your wife, and I want you to bring her back to you. And he goes to the auction. Anybody wants to start bidding out? You know, they're starting to bid out. Nobody's bidding. He goes down from $100 to $20 to $10. Anybody going to bid at all? And pretty soon he sees a hand come out of the back of the crowd. And the man walks to the front and says, I'll buy her. And it was her original husband, Hosea. He buys her and walks up and takes his robe off and he puts it around her, covers her naked body, and takes her home. He says, and you tell the land of Israel, this is how I feel about their relationship with me. That you and I, that we've cheated on God so much in our life, that we cheated on God so much in our life, but yet he still loves us. He still loves us, and he's still looking for a life of surrender to him. That's how much God loves us, that even though we've cheated on him by putting other idols in our life, putting other priorities above him, we've given our heart to other things, whether it be career, relationships, our own selfish desires, and we put these things out there, and we cheat on God with all these different things in our life, not really focusing on what he's asked us to do. And God says, I still love you. I still love you. I still love you. I will never love you any less, and I'll never love you any more than I do right now. I love you that much. He's looking for our heart of surrender. Why? Because he loves us. That's what it is. He wants to be with us. He wants us to be the object of his affection. And he wants us to give him the affection he so desires as well. He wants us to have as many blessings. He wants to bless us with Isaacs and different things in our land. He wants to bless you financially. He wants to bless you physically. He wants to bless you relationally. He wants to bless you in all areas of our life. God wants us to walk in blessing. We know that to be true. But he never wants the blessing to come above him. And living a life of surrender says, God, you take away, but you always get back. I've never given God one dream, one desire that he can give back to me over and over again. He says, son, now that you give it to me, I'm going to give it back to you now in a way you never thought you were going to get it. There's been things in my life I've given up to the Lord and thought those things will never happen. And they'll begin to happen several years later. And God will say, ha, fooled you, didn't I? I never forgot what was in your heart, son. I never forgot what I promised you. I never forgot what you really wanted. And God would just do it. And I'm like, God, you're such a good God. God doesn't forget. He never asked me to give up. So what's the problems with it? We see that there. First of all, the blessing, it's hard to lay down. And we got to learn to be obedient right away. Man, problem of surrender is we got to learn to be obedient right away. This is really hard, isn't it? How many of us, it's hard for our kids to be obedient right away. How many of us, true, you know? You tell them to go do something, and they just sit around forever. Doesn't that just drive you crazy? When you've asked your kids to do something that you need them to do, you know, and you come back from the store and they're still just sitting there playing the same video game. You're like, I asked you to get up and pick your room up and take your shower and have it done. Then you can play all you want for the rest of the night. But you haven't even moved yet. Oh, I didn't know. Sorry. Well, you were talking to me. I thought you were talking to my brother. You know, it just drives his parents crazy, doesn't it? That's the way God is with us. It drives him crazy when we're not obedient right away. He's looking for us to act in obedience. It says to Abraham, the very next morning, got up. I set off on the journey. God says, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. He didn't take time to wait. He got up the next morning and said, God, I'm going to start this process of surrender right now. God, I'm going to start this process of surrender right now. Be quick to obey. Be in a heart of surrender. Says, God, I lay down not only my sin, but I lay down the blessing in my life. And I learned to be obedient right away. And the last thing here is the death to myself. This is a hard thing, the death to myself. We talked about this a second ago, that Isaac represented the death to Abraham. When he was laying Isaac down on the altar, he was saying, all right, God, I give you my future. God, I give you my career. God, I give you my family. God, I give you my money. God, I give you everything I am. It belongs to you. I surrender it all to you. In his heart, you know what his heart was? It says in his heart that Abraham fully, we talked about this last week in Hebrews, that Abraham fully knew and expected that if God took it away, that he was going to raise it back up. He knew fully in his heart that if God asked me to sacrifice my son, he'll raise him back up from the dead. He'll resurrect that thing. That's the kind of faith that Abraham had. And our life is surrendered to God. It's, God, I'll give you everything I have, God, that belongs to you. I'm trusting you, even the blessing, even the hard things, God, I'm giving to you. Because I know if you take it away, God, that you are resurrected in my life. What a powerful statement this morning. That God wants to resurrect lost dreams. That God wants to resurrect lost vision. That God wants to resurrect broken relationships. That God wants to resurrect your finances. God wants to resurrect your health. God wants to resurrect your family. It starts with a heart of surrender. And when I surrender, God always provides in the mouth of the Lord. Let's bow our heads this morning. Today, before we go any further this morning, I just want to ask you this question. You say, Pastor, you're here talking about a heart of surrender, and I believe today that God is wanting to do something in somebody's life here. Maybe you hear, you say, Pastor, I'm not only about surrendering to God, I've never even surrendered my heart to God. I've never even given him my heart and asked him to be Lord of my life. And nobody's looking around but me right now. I want to ask you this question. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I'm ready to make things right with God, I want to ask Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. I want to ask him to come into my life, forgive me my sins, and I want to accept him today. Maybe you're here and you've never prayed that prayer before, or maybe you're here and you prayed that prayer and you've been a long ways from God. I'd say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer a long time ago, but I just haven't lived for God in a long time, and today I want to come back and renew my relationship with him. I would not embarrass you in any way, and nobody's looking. If that's you today, can you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. I want to give you that chance. Anybody here? Thank you. Anybody else that want to join this person today? Raise it high if I can see it. That's me, Pastor. I'm ready. I'm ready to renew my relationship with Jesus. Thank you. Today, I want us all to say this prayer before we go any further. We're going to say this prayer together, especially those who raised your hands this morning. Let's say this prayer together. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am. I give it to you. I confess you as Lord of my life. I believe you are the Son of God. I will live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, we say welcome to the family of God. Let's give them a hand clap. Yeah, man, we really appreciate that. Before you leave today, if you prayed that prayer, we have a special pack in the back. It's got a Bible and some other material for you free. Just want to give to you. I'm going to invite you today to let's all stand together. We're going to close out in this course of surrender. I surrender my heart to God. I surrender all. And this is where God has got us set. As we plug into the power, it starts right here that we live a life of surrender to him. Not just the sin in our life, but it's the blessing as well. That God's wanting us to surrender everything we are to him, that no other idol will become before him. But no other blessing will become before him. That my career doesn't take a higher priority than what my relationship with God is. That my family doesn't take a higher priority than what my relationship with God is. This is the most important thing in my life. It's not my status. It's not my popularity. It's not my wealth. It's not my position on a team. It's not my position here. My most important thing in life is still, will always be, my relationship of surrender to Jesus Christ. That's what he's wanting in our life. And when we surrender that to him willingly, then he blesses us with the dreams that we have. Then he breathes on what we have, and he gives it back to us. As we give it away, he gives it back to us. He says, give, and it shall come back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God is wanting to bless our lives, but it starts right here in a life of surrender. Let's sing this together as we close out the service.
To Jesus I surrender, oh, to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence
Come on, let's lift our hands one more time to the Lord today. Father, we surrender our lives to you. Lord, we surrender everything we are to you with our hands lifted today, God, as a sign of surrender, God. We say right now, God, that we give you everything we are, everything we want to be. Father, we say right now, Lord, we give everything to you today, God. All of our dreams, all of our blessings, all of our hurt, God, it all belongs to you. And Father, we surrender it willingly to you today. God, we give you everything, God. Maybe be quick to obey what you've asked us to give up. Maybe be quick to forgive. Quick to give up the things you've asked us to give up. And Father, right now, Father, today, I speak that we may all live in a life of surrender right now. May today be a new day. May today be a new day of walking in blessing, walking in a new hope, knowing today, God, we're surrendering our whole life to you, giving you everything. And we shall do this in the name of Jesus. We pray, amen. Amen. God bless you today. Receive a God, walk in God, surrender all week long today. Amen. God bless you.